the things up here if you want to put them up. There.
They're on the wall.
There we go.
Oh, there you go.
Okay, we have three readings. First one is from Joshua 24, 14 through 15. Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Next one is from 1 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. When the time drew near for David to die, he gave a charge to Solomon, his son. I am about to go the way of all the earth, he said. So be strong, show yourself a man, and observe what the Lord your God requires. Walk in his ways, and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and requirements, as written in the law of Moses, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, and that the Lord may keep his promise to me. If your descendants watch how they live, and if they walk faithfully before me with all their hearts and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. And then the last reading is from 1 John chapter 3, 1 through 2. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Here ends the readings.
All right, you guys are going to have to run with me today. I need some help. Thank you for volunteering ahead of time. Even though you don't know it yet. Any of the parents with a little one in diapers got a little one they can grab and bring up into this spot? Are they in there? Good, we got one. We got two. I'll take one. Will do. Here we go. I don't care. Go, bring them up. I don't care. All right, I need a 2 or 3-year-old. 2 or 3. Come on, I need a 2 or 3-year-old that can stand here real nice. Well, God bless us. Amen. Well, that's all right. All right, right on this side, good. I need a, let's say, a 5th grader, 4th, 5th, 6th grade, somewhere in there, 5th grade. Come on, I need a 5th grader, 4th grader. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. I got to have a 5th grader in here. 5th graders know everything. How about a 4th grader? How about a 3rd grader? What's Sophie? 2nd. Well, come on up. She's now in 3rd, isn't she? Oh, wow. I need a 2nd grader. Good. Now I need an 8th grader. Aha! You're the only one I know, kid. I know you're in 9th grade. Get over here. Now I need a junior going to a senior in high school. Anyone, come on. That's where they point you out and then they drag them up, right? Good. Now I need someone college, post-college. Look at that. We're going to get the whole crew up here. That's right, Hank, I already decided to volunteer you for the job. Now I need a daddy who's got a kid. Now we get the other one up. You represent the post-college, college post. Professional. Now I need a grandma who doesn't want to use the word grandma yet. And now I need a great-great-grandma. I think we have one. Well, I know she's great, so I know she's a great-grandma. All right. Now, imagine fathers, men. This is the crew. I want you to understand. Now, kids, come down. All little kids. This is a children's sermon. Thank you all for volunteering. I hope I have enough candy for you. Come on down. Come on down. Dads, you come with them. Moms, you whatever it takes. Sit on your lap. Mom and dad can sit in the front seat. There's room. Squeeze together if they need room. Excellent. Excellent. All right, Hank, I told you I was volunteering you, so I can. The reason I volunteer him is if I say something nasty or insulting, he forgives me pretty quick. So, pretty quick. Hank represents the generic dad, so daddy, okay? Father's Day. Ready? Watch. Can you change your own diaper yet? You know how to change diapers yet?
No.
Okay. Do you know how to change diapers?
Yes.
Oh, you do. Okay. All right. Do you have any idea how nasty high school boys can be? Do you have it?
Oh, yeah.
were you? No confession start. Do you have any idea how nasty high school boys can be? You're going to learn. I think you know that. Do you know how much worse they get in college? Do you know how nasty? You're going to teach her?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And you know what? How much worse they get in college, right?
I haven't heard. Because
then there's no mom or dad around.
Uh-huh.
You know that, too. She doesn't know that yet.
Sure.
Well, yeah, we want her to learn ahead of time, right? Yeah. All right. Do you have any idea how tough it is to earn a living, pay bills, all the insurance, all the debt, all the every time your kid wants to go to college and help them out, all the things when you got to raise girls?
I don't know.
You have any idea what that? Do you have an idea what that's like to try and earn a living?
I've heard a thing.
Pay bills, insurance.
Yes.
You do that stuff too.
I do.
And you have maintained a house and all that useless. Oh yeah. Ah. Do you have any idea what it's like to get old? Oh, they know, yes. Do you have any idea what it's like to be a great, great grandma? Okay. Do you have any idea how you appear to your in-laws?
I have an idea.
Shh. We'll talk about that later. You have any idea what it's like to die? Did you live through some of that stuff in your own family yet?
Not much.
You know how much all these people need to learn? Do you have any idea how much wiser you are having lived a couple extra years?
A little bit.
I want to show you something. Dads have kids who are little, right? Dads have kids, they're still in diapers, and dad's got to learn how to change a
diaper.
And then sometimes they get a little older, and they wet their bed and sometimes have accidents. So he sometimes has to go in there and pull the sheets off the bed and change the sheets and wash them so the kid can sleep in a nice fresh bed. Yeah, but then they get a little bit older, and they start to run around. And dad's got to always think about, where's my little 2 or 3-year-old? Where are they running right now? Because they don't always know the bad places and the good places to go. But dads got to know that, don't they? As they get a little bigger, dads know things about grade school and about high school that the kids coming into it don't know. And you know what their job is? To get them ready. To teach each one of them. And don't pick your nose. You're learning the right things, yes. And we could go down that path in a long way, and who knows what we'll get. Wait, one at a time. Don't stick your fingers in your mouth. We're getting them all. You knew those rules, right?
I learned them all.
Did he try and teach them to you too? You too? Okay. Ready? As dad's grew. I'm not sure what that was. If you can translate for me. Dads also take care of sons even when they get bigger. And they take care of their brand new sons when they have children of their very own. And then we wouldn't call him dad. We would call him Grandpa. And just like I called her Grandma, it means that she had a son who had a baby, and now she's this baby's grandma. Now watch this one. She not only has a son or a daughter who had a son who had a baby, but now we call her a great, great-great-grandma. Oh, getting it right. Is that
great,
One great. Well, she's a great lady, so yeah. One. Then you get to call her a great-grandma. And here's what's interesting. Daddy, if you had a great-grandma, what might be some of the things you'd have to do as a daddy?
Make sure that they know how to treat great-grandma.
Ah, excellent. Even maybe help take care of her if that was necessary, or drive her to a place, to the hospital or something. Now, when we say dads, I want you to know it's a big word. Can you think of something, a reason why you love and want to say thank you to your dad? Can you grab me the microphone from behind the podium? About that, reach up in there. And can you turn me on over there, please? Mute, hit mute. I'll get it. That's all right. Thank you. Here, okay. We're not working. There we are. You want to say thank you? Go ahead.
Why I love my daddy is because he's special and I love him, and he's the great dad ever.
Wonderful. Someone else want to say something they'd like their dad about? You want to say something?
I love my dad because my daddy loves me, and I love my daddy.
Wonderful. That's beautiful. You want two? All right, here we go. You love your mom. That's all right. Your daddy loves her too, so it works out okay. Anyone else? Love your daddy? Well, you know what I've learned is that daddies have got a big job from when the child is still in diapers all the way through till his own children are having children. And then he becomes a grandma or a grandpa. And if he lives long enough, he gets to be a great grandma or grandpa. I want you to remember that. And here's what I want you to remember. If somebody does something nice for you, what should you learn to do? Always say, thank you. Does that include dads?
Yes.
This is a special day to remind you. I love you. You're glad you got to see that. Yes, whatever that was, I didn't know how to repeat that one. So, good. Today's sermon's about dads, and I want you to listen to it. Every once in a while, I'm going to ask you a question, okay? So, should I give them a treat too? I don't know if I have enough for them. I didn't realize I was going to do this. If you're older, you might have to walk away until I find out if I got enough treats in here. They're all the same, guys, so grab in. Here we go, kid. Take turn. Hold it. Girls first. Ladies first. Grab one. They're all the same. Just grab one. I know. It's good for you because it's a good day. It's Father's Day, so it's got to be good for you. Here's another one. Let her get in here. Wait. You're almost ready. Grab one, honey. They're all the same. Go ahead. Grab one. There you go. Now you can grab one. Hurry up. That's all right. There you go. You're welcome, hon. And I'm sorry. Oh, we're going to make it here? Wait, no, honey, you only get one. Here. Wait. Here, two things. God. Oh, you got some more? Thank you for almost rescuing me there. I always hate that when it happens. I didn't know I was going to bring you all up. Otherwise, I would have had a treat for you, so I owe you one. Accept my IOU. Not an easy day, Father's Day. I always find myself feeling really guilty because of all the things I have been or haven't been and all the different things going on. I realize that Father's Day, though, is not a day where God wants me to feel guilty. He wants me to feel empowered. He wants me to feel bold. He wants me to feel humble. He wants me to respect him, but to also recognize what kind of father he is. That first song that Mark picked, He's a Good, Good Father, that's a reminder. God is always good. Do you think he gave me children knowing I'd be a perfect father? None of us would ever be able to have kids. All right? We all can talk about the failings, the inconsistencies, and the weaknesses. I don't think God spends much time doing that because there isn't much benefit in it. All right? It doesn't make you a better man. It doesn't make you stronger. It doesn't make you more loving. You have to acknowledge that you had those qualities. You've got to recognize you're not always consistent the way you want to be. And you need to recognize those characteristics are a part of you like they were part of your father or even your grandfather. And you begin to understand the kind of relationships that God's brought into your life at certain times to teach you all the things that God wanted to teach you. There's this unbelievable amount of information passed down from fathers to children and grandfathers to children. And there's things that only fathers, in one sense, get to do because they are dads. But there is this comfort and this commitment from the Heavenly Father to meet the needs. That's why when we sing a song about all of us were adopted, when I remind you of watching a video that talks about a stepfather stepping up and being the kind of father this young lady needed in her particular life or circumstances, it doesn't ignore the fact that fathers have failings and inconsistencies. What it does is it brings us face to face with the Heavenly Father who continues to reach into our circumstance. And so it's a lot easier to preach about the Heavenly Father than to preach about perfect fathers. And I don't think that's what God's wanting from us today, but I do think he wants each man and woman and child, it really doesn't make any difference, to be fully empowered to be who God's called them to be in the kingdom. And so this first text I had read to you was from Joshua 24, and the idea from Joshua 24 is a simple concept, as was pointed out there. Whoop, got to find my right page here. And it said this concept of, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua was setting the tone. He didn't care where the rest of the world went. You have to understand, if you had a dad that said, we're not going in that direction, you may have to count yourself really fortunate. We don't go that way. We don't run down the path that way. That's not the way we treat people. We walk in a different direction. We hear a different drum, the drum of God from heaven, speaking to us. I know you want to do this, son, but the answer is no. I like the song that I have to grab the words here because I don't. Everyone laughed at me. I was going to put it on. I thought, well, I looked at the date it was out there since 2006 or 8 or something. So, well, it shows you how relevant I am. It's By Watching You by Rodney Atkins. Ever heard the song? Watching You. It's about a man driving in his car and has to slam on his brakes and lets fly with a few choice words. And a little bit later, he has to slam on his brakes again and the kid's orange stuff and French fries and whatever he got, chicken nuggets from McDonald's go flying everywhere. And the little kid lets fly with a few four-letter words. And he says, son, where did you learn to talk like that? And this chorus goes like this. He said, I've been watching you, Dad. Ain't that cool? I'm your little buckaroo. I want to be just like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are. We got cowboy boots and camo pants. Yeah, we're just alike. Hey, ain't we, Dad? I want to do everything you do. So I've been watching you. Next verse of the song says, when we got back to the ranch or the farm, wherever they were, I went into the barn and I got on my knees and I began to pray. Dear God, you're going to have to change who I am. I'm getting in the way of what you want my son to learn. And he prayed that prayer. And later on that night, he was putting his son to bed. And the little boy jumped out of bed, kneeled down and knelt down by the side of the bed, and he began to pray. And he prayed like God was his friend. He prayed like God knew him. And the song goes on to say, "Son, where'd you learn to pray like that?" Answer, "I've been watching you, Dad. I've been watching you, Dad. I want to do everything you do, so I've been watching you." There is a reality to the heart of the Father. Can you go to the barn? It's not, you're never going to be perfect, but you can learn to go to the barn. That used to be the stereotype. We're taking him out to the shed where you switch him with a little thin branch that kind of stung like all get out, and you get the switch. You're getting taking you out to the shed, son. "Oh, Dad, no." But I go, what a miracle when a father can take himself out to the shed, out to the barn, and unbeknownst to him, was praying this prayer about his heart before God, his inconsistency as a father, and other things that were there, but he was doing it with absolute sincerity, and that son, peeking around the corner, heard that prayer. He said, "I learned it from you, Dad. I learned it from you." And so you have to understand that you and I, as fathers, even as mothers, whoever we happen to be, have to learn things not necessarily from earthly fathers. Our earthly fathers, it says in Scripture, discipline us, but they don't always do it perfectly. One time you get yelled at when you shouldn't have got yelled at, and for me, three times I didn't get yelled at when I should have got yelled at. You know, whatever the ratio is for you, that idea of sometimes they're just human beings and they just have it up to here. I remember listening to this one man give a testimony. He said, "My dad was an angry man and I hated him. And my dad and I just could not stand each other. And when I was, I think, 14 or 15 years old, he and I had a fight, and I never talked to my dad for the next 10 years almost." He said, "Finally, I'm a lawyer." He's a professional lawyer. And he finishes Harvard. And he said, "I decided my dad, who owned his own little restaurant, a little hole-in-the-wall place, I was going to go talk to him and have it out with him." And he said, "I went to the restaurant, and my dad said how good it was to see you." He said, "My dad had no idea I was never going to come back. It's the last time I was ever going to talk to him his whole life." And he proceeds to go on and he said, "I began to tell my dad exactly what I thought of him. And my dad never said a word. He didn't get angry. He didn't get upset. And Dad, you were so impatient with us all the time. You yelled all the time. You kept screaming at us. And nothing was ever good enough for you. And you were always tired and you were always gone. And you were..." He just did this whole load. He said, "I think I talked for an hour and a half." My dad just nodded his head. "Okay." And he said, "What do you have to say?" The dad slowly began to explain that he had had sometimes two and three jobs to keep his family together. And some days he did come home too tired. And he did come home too impatient. And he began to hear what his father had been through, about the fact that his own father had deserted him, about the fact that there was absolutely no way that he could learn how to be a good father, in one sense, because he had never had a good father example, but he determined he wouldn't leave his kids and he wouldn't divorce his mother or their mother. And he said, he went through this whole thing. He said, "My dad and I ended up talking for about 6 hours, 7 hours straight. And since that time, we've been the best friends." You understand, you can't always see or feel why dads, moms, people behave the way they do. And you can't always sit there with your judgment and self-righteousness and arrogance and pride determining that they're not worth it, or it's not worth your time to even try with them anymore. So Father's Day, like Mother's Day, has to be a time of both mercy and repentance. It has to be a time of graciousness and kindness. It has to be a time when we hear this passage where every father who starts out feeling this way strong in the Lord, "It's for me and my house will serve the Lord." One day those little buggers grow up and they don't always listen. They start raising their own kids or walking in their own path or somebody at college convinces them God's dead, or something else changes the way they live, and they say marriage stupid, and people should never get married, and the list is perpetual and goes on, and your dad sits there with his mouth open and wondering what I can say, how can I change my son, how easy it was when I could sit with you as a father and change a wet diaper, how hard it is now to speak to you when you're a grown man, and even as you grow older, because you think you know it all. And the dad goes, I remember those days too. I remember what that was like. And so here is Joshua setting a tone in front of anyone else, whether they follow his path or not. He sets the direction. Good fathers help set that direction. They set the direction as for me and my house. We're going to serve the Lord. And notice the first word, me. Fathers imitate and demonstrate how they're supposed to live to their kids. There is an awareness that I have seen my dad. I'm watching my dad, like the song. Where'd you learn to pray like that? Watching you, Dad. Where'd you learn to treat mom like that? Watching you, Dad. And it can be negative or it can be positive. But you have to understand there is testimony in all the things that we do as husbands or wives. Who taught you to talk to your dad like that? Well, that's the way mom talks about you when you're not around. That's the way she, you understand, you fill in the blanks, whatever you want to do. One of the other things that you begin to understand is this. God is demonstrating himself and who he is in this little passage. Comes out of 1 John 3 and reads as follows, if you would. Got to find my sheet here, sorry. Or not. It's here somewhere. Here we go. How great the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is because it did not know him. Do your kids know you like them? That's hard. I love you, I just don't like you very much. I understand that. And at least it's a start. You are never going to delight in the hard things of your life without the Holy Spirit. You know, John and Carol went out to California, and I was just sharing with them, and sorry I'm picking on you guys, and they did a lot of work out there, and I go, there's something very unique and special about sitting with a son who's doing a project, and you go, wow, good job. That turned out really nice. Well done. And I don't care how old he is. They get bigger. How in the world can my words have any impact on that at all? My son in St. Joe's is stripping the paint off his house. Two-story house. Stripping paint, does anyone know how bad a job that is? Son, your job you're doing is fantastic. I can't believe what you're doing. You must be saving an immense amount of money. $30,000, Dad. You begin to understand there is this privilege with responsibility to nurture that child, that son, that daughter, with the truth, with sincere love, to let them know that as you look at them, you delight in them. You aren't just my kid. I delight in being a dad. Does that mean everything about being a dad is easy? No. I remember the first time you got, you know, man, I got to earn all the money. Dad's gone. Remember those first moments when you're married or something and you go, holy cow. And I happened to be living out of state and everything else like that. I had to make enough money to pay the rent, to pay the food, to buy the... and you go, and you suck air. And you have to overcome that. You have to rely on the things that have been told you, the promises that you can do it, that you have lived through these things before, that this is a characteristic that you will survive in, that you will take that challenge on. But then as they come down and they visit you in your first little scrubby apartment, which cost me $99 a month, but they sprayed for cockroaches regularly. Lots of cockroaches. But it was $99 a month, and I could afford it in college. Pretty nice place. You've turned it into something good. Nice job. I even like your cardboard bookcases. Very creative. You understand? How in the world can a moment like that make such a difference? The answer is because that father has a role, a responsibility, the same way your heavenly father starts speaking into your heart when you start recognizing, behold, the love the father has lavished on you. He calls you not just something distant, call me dad. Call me Abba Father. I call you my son. Oh, we sang a song like that, didn't we? I call you my son, and you call me Father. Our Father. Out of all the ways Jesus could have taught us to pray, why did he teach us to pray with that? Was he somehow ignorant of how bad some fathers can be? No. Was he somehow foolish believing that men live up to that standard? No. Was he fully aware what he was saying when he said, here is your Father. Call him our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And you begin to go, why? Because God wants you to know how much joy he gets out of you. Remember when you used to paint those kind of useless pictures they put on the fridge? You look back on them now, you know, I've been digging through scrapbooks and everything else. You kind of look, whoa, what was that? You know, I don't know, I think you can go that way. And you have to look where the signature is because maybe, or you know, whatever it is. And yet you giggled and laughed like it was the best thing you'd ever received. Why? Because you took delight in your child. The child was drawing you a picture. How many people have drawn you a picture since? Ah. You begin to understand. This is the nature of what we're trying to address. This is what God's point is in this very, you know, in this very situation that we're dealing with right here. And we go into that one more quick verse that I'm going to pick out for you if I can find it. Here it is. David speaking to his son, the second or First Kings one up there. Not speaking to his best son, not his best memory. But what are you going to say to your kids? David, talking to his son, gave this command, these directions to Solomon. I'm going to go the way of all the world. I'm dying. So be strong. Show yourself to be a man. You men know what that means? Toughen up. Quit your whining. Remember you used to do when you were a little kid, the punch arm? All right, you get to punch my arm first. Bam! That didn't hurt. My turn. Bam! That didn't hurt. And you put the knuckle out. Right? Knuckle out. Bam! Well, you didn't say we could put knuckles out. Well, you get one knuckle in and we can change the rule. Bam! In your arm. I go, why would men do that? Ah, that's an honest answer. Amen, sister. Every man knows what it means. Every guy gets it. Doesn't necessarily mean it's smart, no. But it is part of be a man. Understand who God's called you to be. Understand some very important things about this lesson. And so here is David still speaking to this child, and he goes, be strong, show yourself a man. And then he tells you, implies what it means. Observe what the Lord your God requires. It's going to take a special kind of courage. They don't hit you with a knuckle as much as they rip your heart out sometimes or steal something from you or whatever it is. Make fun of you because you're a Christian or because you love your wife or your kids. And he goes on from there and he says, you walk in his ways and you keep his decrees and commands. You keep his laws. You keep his requirements that are written in the laws of Moses. So that, here's the prosper part, so that you may prosper in all you do and wherever you go, that the Lord may keep his promise to me. And if your descendants watch how they live and how they walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, you will never fail to have a man on the throne of Israel. What are you going to pass on to your kid? What is he going to learn? I'm going to ask you to think about doing something with me. If you're a grandpa, a father, a man, a boy, single, not married, no kids, and you're willing to walk down to the front, please do. You're going to be my next sermon illustration. Hank, you're first. Thank you for volunteering. Come on, even the boys are up here. Bring your kid with you. Yeah, boys and the men. Boys to men. And girls, you can grab her. Go ahead. Why would I do this? I do this for several reasons. All right? Growing up as a guy, you sometimes experience life differently. But every one of the people up here probably played on some team. A football team, a basketball team, soccer team, or something else where there was a team sport, where they were part of a team, where they were part of the organization, or whatever it happened to be. And there was a certain part of understanding manhood, understanding that you're not in it all alone, but you're in it together with other brothers, other men who are struggling with some of the same sins, who are struggling with some of the same insecurities, who are struggling with some of the same fears and anxieties that you're feeling. At the same time, they're each trying to be men. And now, if you'll permit me, I want you to put your arm around the shoulder of the person next to you like a huddle. Circle around over there. Go circle around the church. It's okay. Circle around. Circle all the way. We got everyone connected? Both arms if you want. If you can do it without breaking an arm off. I want you to understand, as men, you're the team. You're the team. You are part of what is meant by God to take care of the people that are sitting in front of you. And those who don't even know you have a heart to take care of them. You don't stand alone. You stand with other brothers. Those of you who have watched a movie like The Band of Brothers or some of the other movies, you understand. We got to take the beach. We have to do what God's demanded of young men through the generations sometimes. They just celebrated, what was it, 50 or 60 years of the 75, thank you, of D-Day. I go, this is a D-Day for us. And so I want you to bow your heads, men, and you're able to say amen at each thing. I'll say the thing. If you're willing to be a man after God's own heart, say amen. Amen. If you're willing to take the time to guard your wife, your family, the brothers and sisters in your life, the women or even the other men in your life, say amen. Amen. If you're willing to risk all for service to God and to be his man in every situation, say amen. Amen. If you're willing to seek after a tender heart, to listen more carefully to your children, to listen more carefully to brothers and sisters and wives, if you're willing to be soft enough to be tender-hearted and yet tough enough to stand when you need to stand as best you can, say amen. Amen. I want you as men to understand we hold on to each other because we stand against the enemy. When we pray as men, we guard our families, we guard our children and our grandchildren. We guard our daughters from the different things that can destroy their lives, or our young men from the things that destroy their lives. We begin to function as one body, single-minded, trusting fully in God. And so if it's your heart to copy your Heavenly Father in all that He has for you as best you can, day by day, from now until your last breath, I want to be more and more like my Heavenly Father. Say amen. Amen. Lord, we pray this in your name. All guys say amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. You get to sit down. We're joined together because a team is much harder to defeat than an individual. A team acknowledges they have to listen. When a teammate says to me, you went too fast or you went too slow, you cut to the right, you needed to cut to the left, you start to listen. Because you're not fighting it alone. You're fighting it for the other little girl, the other young woman, young man, sitting next to you or somewhere else, because the father is not the only one that people are watching. They're watching the wife, how she responded. They're watching the children, how they respond. You know, there's so much on Father's Day, I could preach a whole sermon just to kids. How do you treat your Heavenly Father? How do you treat your earthly father? Did God ever promise you a perfect father? Not that I ever found in Scripture. Did anyone in the Bible ever have a perfect father? Not that I often read about in Scripture. And yet at the same time, God calls us. You join hands. We are the army of. We are the team of. We guard one another. We lift up one another in prayer. We understand that life deals us things that we can't always anticipate. We recognize that each one of us has weaknesses. That's why some play offense, some play defense, some play in the line, and some are the fast runners. And some people can take a beating and some can't. And you put them in a position that serves the quality of person they are and allows them to battle for the team the way that team needs. I believe if we as a church understand, and obviously I could have easily joined together all the women around that just as much, but even the little ones, the young men, guard your sister, guard your mom, watch how you talk about her, watch how you treat them, have God change your heart, recognize that even though you're a young man, you are still a young man. And God doesn't expect any less from you than He does from an old man like me. But He needs you to grow up into that man, to be that man according to God's will. Pray with me. Lord, I thank You for these brothers. Thank You for these sisters as well, Lord. Today we celebrate the gift of the fathers, the husbands, the men, the young boys that are gathered in this place. And we pray that there would be a guarding, a protecting, a loving, a nurturing situation around us in every way. Help us to say thank you to you first, Heavenly Father. Help us to have grateful hearts for our earthly fathers. And then, Lord, help us to live a heart of appreciation for the gift of family, for the gift of children, even in the struggles of what it takes to raise them into the young men and women that they become. Come, Holy Spirit, fill your church. Fill the fathers, help them to dedicate their families to you. Help them to live for you in every way. We pray this in your name, Jesus, and all God's people say, amen. So you offer